Let me call this prophetic council to order. Ladies and gentlemen, have your seats. That would be you, John, Monty. We're missing another chair. Is there one down there? No, John's got it. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, these lights that are shining right in our eyes. No, not those. Yeah, those can go way down. It's not off. Thank you. Well, Apostle Zach and Sage asked us as the prophetic council to do the service this morning, and he wanted us to talk about the prophetic. So we're going to teach a little bit about it. We're going to share a little bit about it. And then we're going to answer some questions about it. So, I want to begin with the fact that everything begins with His Word, where the prophetic is concerned. Everything. I've heard a lot of people fancy themselves as prophets, and they're missing a couple things. They don't spend time in this Word, and they don't pray. They just think, I hear. If you don't spend time with Jesus on a regular basis, like every day, and you aren't in His Word, because He is the Word, He's the living Word, and you aren't interceding with the Holy Spirit, you cannot call yourself prophetic. So, I'm going to share a little bit about this Bible, because not all of us are in the same place, right? So, this Bible was authored by over 40 authors, written over a period of 2,000 years, by people who weren't connected at all, but yet it is completely connected, because the Holy Spirit authored it. It is the most powerful book in the world. There is not another book that can even come close to the Bible. It is the most ancient book, and yet it is the most modern book. It is the number one bestseller of all time, and has been read by more people than any other book in the world. Today and yesterday, and hundreds and thousands of years ago. It is a book of complete wisdom for every aspect of life. There's not one question that any of us could have that would not be answered in this Word. Because this Word is Jesus. It is Him. It's the only book that contains every word that you will ever need to live as a man or woman or a child. Because God said man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this Word proceeded out of His mouth, and it has come to do the work that He has sent it to do. Every word in this book is absolute truth. Look at your neighbor and say, the Bible is absolute truth. This book is the most cherished book in the world and the most despised. Either people love it or they hate it. It's displayed in homes throughout the world and hidden in some places. Because if people were caught with it, they could be killed for it. It's the only living book in the world because it is completely supernatural. It's alive. It'll speak to you, the very core of your being. The words of this book create light and they destroy darkness. There's no other book in the world that can create light or destroy darkness. It's completely prophetic. Every single word. It's the only prophetic book that was ever written. Now, there can be anointed books. I'm not saying that. But it can't compare to this book. Which brings me to the prophets. Because this is where the prophetic begins, as I began with, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go down a few more verses, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that flesh was Jesus Christ, the living Word. You know, the Bible says you now have the mind of Christ. Right here it is. This is his mind. Now, it's not all of it. We will never stop learning. We will never hear everything, even through eternity, because he's eternal. The prophets, in a nutshell, serve as the voice of God to the earth. There's many kinds of prophets. The main prophet is called a Nabi or a Ra'ah, which the seer is the Ra'ah, the Nabi is the speaker. Some prophets are seer speakers. All seers are prophets. If they have the call of God on their life as a prophet. If they're a seer, they're a prophet. But all prophets are not necessarily seers. Some of them are only, I don't want to say only, some of them are hearers. And then there are those that are hearer-seers or seer-hearers, depending on where the weight is of the anointing that's on them. So then you have the gift of prophecy, which is given by the Holy Spirit. And then you have the office of the prophet, which is given by Jesus Christ. Totally different. And then you have the all can prophesy, which is given to everyone. That means that you can speak the words of God. Every time you open your mouth and speak the word of God, you're prophesying. Look at your neighbor and say, when you speak the word, you're prophesying. That's right. The role of a prophet is varied, and it's dependent upon the call of God in his life. Could be a church prophet. The prophet could be called to the nation or a region. Could be called to nations or just the state that they're in. So when prophets come, they have a clarion call. All prophets are called to do the same thing. Does anybody know what that is? Besides talking for God, they all have the same message from Noah all the way to Jesus. Does anybody know what the message was and is today? Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. That's what repent means. Change your mind. Turn back to God. Have relationship with him. And receive the salvation of his Christ, Jesus. The message has never changed. If the prophet isn't speaking that message, you better ask God to show you something. That is the message. It's not the only message, but that is the root message. They're called in this time, and they did all Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, to encourage, to build, and to exhort, and bring correction where needed. We don't like that. We don't want to be corrected. How many of you love correction? Raise your hand. A few of us. That's wise. But overall, we don't really like to be corrected. And we see what happens with the people who don't want to be corrected, right? They go from walking with God to not walking with God. Then a prophet arises and they walk with God, and then pretty soon they're swallowed up in what? Worldly thinking, worldly activities, kind of straying away, maybe backsliding a little bit. It doesn't take sin to draw us away from God. Culture is a big deterrent in our lives. We get caught up in the culture. The culture may not be sinful. It may just be really distracting. And pretty soon we find ourselves being caught up more and more, and our time more and more given to those things than given to God and the things of God. And so that is when a prophet will arise, and the prophets in this day are constantly calling for it. Come back to God, return to God, be revived. We want revival. Who's saying that? The prophets. They're talking about the need for revival in our nation, right? Being a prophet is different from just being one who prophesies. A true prophet is a builder and an equipper in the office of a prophet. That's their main job, according to the word. We are to build. We're to build the body the ecclesia, into who they are meant to be, who we're meant to be as a group. We're to build the body so we come together. All of us should be connected. All of us should have the same goal. All of us should be moving toward the same things. We have different lanes we run in, and we have different anointings, we have different giftings, but the goal is the same. So I want to talk about the different kinds of prophets. Oh, I brought Joe with me today, too. Is my favorite in the morning. The different kinds of prophets. There are apostolic prophets. There are prophets who are given to the arts. There are evangelistic prophets, teaching prophets. Prophets usually will move in the miraculous. They're psalmist prophets. So I want to call on these guys in their different spheres of the lanes they run in as prophetics. So, Rachel.
I am a seer prophet, but I am very apostolic, which means when I go into a place, and maybe I take the ark with me, maybe I don't, but when I go into a place, I break things open. So things shift regionally, so that would mean I'm probably a regional prophet, but also a seer. So I have a lot of encounters, and I see things moving and changing. So. How do I get my revelation? Sometimes it is when I am in worship, and I'm connected because spending time is a big deal to me and prayer. But it could be me driving down the road with my kids in the car, and all of a sudden I'm in the heavenly. Thankfully, he can drive too. But I will all of a sudden be in a vision. So it's whenever he chooses to bring the encounter.
I want to address something first. This is not a us and them thing. We are all on the same level. I feel in my spirit right now that it's just like, oh, we got it all together.
No.
That's not what it is. So I just want...
We're just sharing with you our knowledge.
We're just sharing our heart of what, where we're at. So... our heart is that you grow in your prophetic gifting. So I just wanted to address that first. I'm a seer. I do have dreams. But yes, I almost say I'm a hearer as well. I'm still learning what it is a lot to move in the prophetic. And there's many here that are actually a lot more prophetic than myself. You know, I learned a lot from Kim. I know Sherry is very prophetic. My wife is very prophetic. There's a lot to learn that I'm learning how to walk more in my prophetic calling. To be honest, it scares me a lot to walk in something because I feel the weight of it. The fear of the Lord on it, because if I, you know, there needs to be a fear of the Lord of if you say something and it's not comes to pass, then there's a weight of that on you. You know, God's given me many dreams. God has given me dreams. It's funny, we were just down at the HIM Global Summit Conference and got to be around all amazing, powerful people. We got to have lunch with Brian Simmons and his wife, who, if you don't know, is the person translating the Passion Translation. But it was funny, we were in the restroom, and Lou Engle was in there, and some guy was talking to him, and he's like, how can I help you? How can I help you? And Lou would just say, pray to God that he gives me more dreams. And of course, you know,
in the bathroom.
Well, it's funny because it's like, it's funny things happen to the bathroom. You know, Lance Walnut was in the bathroom and just me and him, and I was like, I am not going to approach him in the bathroom. I would love to meet him in person, but not in the bathroom. But it's amazing for me, for me receiving words, when I do receive words, like Zach got to preach last Sunday at another church in Laguna, and man, he was on fire. He was giving prophetic words to everybody. But actually, when he speaks, I get a lot of prophetic insight when he speaks. And I hope that happens for all of you, is it's like, oh, wow, that just opened up, and we had a chance to go for a walk afterwards and talk about some of the stuff that he was talking about. And so that's I get it from hearing the word of the Lord and then also reading the word of the Lord.
I want to also say that we are a prophetic house. We're a prophetic house. People come in here and they feel it right away. That means that all of us in this house, just because you don't have a calling to be a prophet, maybe you do have a calling to prophesy in the workplace. There's seven mountains. Maybe you're called to one of those mountains to use your prophetic anointing and gifting. John. John is an evangelist, prophet.
it on, Ben? There you go. Okay. For years, I've been a hearer. Years. And I'd hear things. I could hear God speak to me like crazy times. He'd say, one time he said, get ready, he's sending you to Israel. And I'm like, whoa. And he did. And so I knew I was hearing. And I learned to hear who God is and his voice by spending tremendous amount of time a very sensitive place when Dee Dee passed away right there on the floor, learning to hear hours upon hours. And so I was content with hearing and knowing the voice and understanding it, learning what it was to hear that quiet voice. But I didn't understand a lot of things, so I asked God for understanding. And Colossians 4 came to me, and I dwelt on it. And I said, I want to see the mysteries of heaven. I want to see those mysteries of heaven. For the perfect reason, as Colossians 4 says, that my words would be tempered with truth and clarity, and that grace would come upon me. Grace, which is compassion in my book, when you reflect grace. So he started showing me things, very intimate, strong things in other people. He started showing me, and I started seeing the future. I know, that's scary, right, Jody? That's real scary. You read Revelation, you can't help but to wonder what the future is. You study Revelation, you start to see where every book in the Bible lines up with Revelation. There's tons of prophecies that speak about what it is we might see or what we believe is coming to pass. In that, I started seeing it in people and seeing and prophesying over people to step into their positions that I was seeing and who they are and create their desire to step into the place that God's calling them to. Because we walk around wondering, how is God using me? Where am I at? And when this started taking place in my life, he confirmed where I was at and what I was supposed to be doing. So just recently, you know, and I've been around here in Alaska and stepped into places and heard God say something, and I operated out of obedience, praying for people in wheelchairs, stopping down Smash Burger for praying for a lady's knee. I shut the place down, literally, and walking in obedience. But I think when you have that hunger, you can't help but to want to evangelize it. And going to Africa, the world opened. We evangelized for 27 events in 25 days. And speaking prophetically to hundreds of people, me personally, which was kind of out of my normal, but evangelistic spirit rose up in me and stepped in. And that's why a lot of the words that I have, Kim, are about stepping in. It's that time. I mean, prophecy said the temple's going to be rebuilt. It's that time. They're building it. They're about to build it. So we're in the harvest. I prophetically speak into that. I see it. I understand it. I believe it. And it's totally active in the Word of God. Totally. So I'm a seer. I'm a hearer. I'm evangelistic about it. And I'm thankful for it. It's wild.
How many in here have dreams? Raise your hands. Yes. How many of you see things in your mind's eye? Raise your hand. Those actually are visions. How many of you have visions where It's like a movie screen playing before your eyes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of you are more prophetic than you may even know. Now, how many of you hear the voice of God? Raise your hand. Raise it high so we can see. Okay, I'm going to disagree. How many of you feel you don't hear the voice of God? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. Because not all of you raised your hand when I said, okay, let's ask the question again. How many of you hear the voice of God? Raise your hand. How many of you feel you do not hear his voice? Okay, you don't want to raise your hand, but I'm going to disagree with you that did not raise your hand. Is anyone in this room not saved? Okay, so we're talking to a room full of believers. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You do hear the voice of God. Sometimes there's a disconnect that perhaps, you know, distractions or just life, you know, can misalign us. I want to encourage you to press into hearing. Ask him, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Will you help me to hear your voice? Holy Spirit, teach me to be a good listener. Because he wants you to hear his voice more than anything. And I want to recommend a book to you. The Voice of God by Cindy Jacobs. Excellent book to start with hearing. Okay? Anybody want to add to that? Reading the word out loud is excellent. Because you know what? It's all his voice right here. Whenever you open this book. Heidi Baker says, open it anywhere. It's all good. Okay, Victoria?
My passion is personal prophecy, even though I get stuff for the nation and nations. And I'm a hearer, I'm a seer, and even though a feeler is more known for words of knowledge, I look at that also as part of the gift of prophecy that I carry. And when I say about a feeler, I could feel people's pains. I could feel their struggles that they're going through. I mean, it gets really personal on that. Sometimes I can feel their sin that they're in. And with having a passion for personal prophecy, my heart is to see people know the Lord for themselves, hear the Lord for themselves. And when they're struggling, not one of us in here could say that we were not desperate for a word from the Lord because we couldn't hear him personally for ourselves. The Lord wants us to hear him for ourselves, but sometimes situations and circumstances causes our ear to kind of go deaf to him. And there we look for somebody that operates in the prophetic that we could hear a word of direction or correction at times and encouragement. So I would say that for each one of you that I believe that you could all hear the word of the Lord for other people. And it may seem sometimes like it's for yourself, but it's actually for the other person. And when you see that happen with them and see them stepping into their gifts and calling themselves, it's remarkable to see that. I want you all walking in your gifts, and that's the area that the Lord uses me as. I could sometimes tell where your gifts and callings are. I need you because I don't walk in all of it, and we all need each other. That's part of being part of the body. So I would encourage you all to press into the Lord and begin to write down what he's giving you, and even nationally and internationally, that see which ones are coming to pass. Test yourself to see how you hear from the Lord. And ask him to test you and refine you in those areas. Amen?
Thank you, Victoria. So how many of you have had a word from the Lord and it hasn't come to pass? Was that frustrating? Did you ever get frustrated? Yeah. So, team, why do you think that words from God will be hindered from coming to pass? Do you think they're false? Do you think that they were given out of time? What is your thoughts? What do you know, Jody?
I've been thinking about this one for a little bit. So I've been given quite a few words, and actually I was inspired this morning to actually go back and listen to some of the words that I got. I just feel like that was appropriate to do this morning. And I actually received a word. I received actually a bunch of words in 2018 when we went down to Bethel School of Ministry. Roy actually was able to get us into the second year students. And a bunch of them prophesied over me and Roy, and it was really good. And it's funny because I went back and listened to them again this morning, but when I was down in the Global Summit, there was one word about, this one lady had a word about San Diego, and I'm like, I've been to SeaWorld once, but I was like, I've never been to San Diego, and I'm like, I've been looking, like, what is the meaning of this word about? She's like, I see San Diego and something. Well, the last night of the conference, Saturday night, super powerful worship, and the person next to me, he'd been sitting actually next to me almost the whole conference, and his name was Daniel, and he's a pastor from San Diego. And he actually prayed over me and gave me a word during the worship, and, I mean, God really moved with fire on me that night, and I'm like, that was a word that actually came true, but it took, how many years is that? 7 years? 7 years for it to come to fruition. Well, then we went to San Diego after that, and part of the other words that were given to me was about being in tall buildings and in San Diego. So there was like two different people talking about being an architect and a director and stuff like that. And then also that I'd be given something in San Diego. Now, well, during our visit during San Diego, I don't feel like I actually received anything when we're actually in the city, but I feel like from the pastor and from San Diego, I told him at the end, I said, I feel like this is a fruition of the prophecy. So that was a fulfilled prophecy that took a long time to fulfill. But I've had other ones that I even received during that thing. I'm like, what does this mean? And part of it is are you leaning into your prophetic word? Are you, I mean, for me, I've been seeking, what does, I've had it for 7 years, like, what does San Diego mean? What does San Diego mean? Looking for an opportunity to go there. And we went there because we were like, well, what do we do after the conference? What do we do? And I said, well, let's go to San Diego and see what God has. Well, it didn't actually happen in San Diego. It happened in Pasadena. So part of it is leaning into it and then also not trying to understand it with your own mind. It won't make sense. A lot of times it won't make sense. When we went to the Philippines in 2019, got off the plane in Manila. We're going through customs, and I had, how many people have had deja vu feeling before? And some of that is from the Lord, I believe, and I believe that what I was going to experience was with, and in my, I feel like I had a dream before about it, and I'm like, it literally, I'm like, I've been here before, I've been to this place before, and it, to be honest, my wife, I mean, she's the one who calmed me down, but I was almost having a panic attack from it, because I was like, something bad's going to happen, here I'm leading this group of 12 or 13 people here, and I'm like, what's going to happen? And she's just like, calm down, everything's going to be okay. And then I just started praying, and everything was fine. But it was like, God, you know, God's going to show you some things that may even freak you out, scare you. But part of it is relying on what is the heart of God, what is the will of God for your life. And He is always for your protection, for your good. It's always for your good.
Does anybody else? How about Monty? Do you have something there?
I would agree with Jody, and would also just encourage to the pressing into and bringing it, continually bringing it before Him as an earnest, like, seeking for it, but being patient too, and what, because it's all timing, and there's a time and a place for it to come to pass.
As I was thinking about this prophetic words, there was a few things that came to mind as to why they might not come to pass. One, it's conditional, so there are other things that need to happen in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled. It's not time. Patience can be really hard. But our time is not His, and so sometimes it's just not time. You're going through the fulfillment of the word. I have experienced when you're going through it, sometimes you don't see it until you're on the other side, and then you look and you're like, oh my goodness, there it is. And so, and sometimes that going through it can be a long process of going through the fulfillment of the prophecy, depending on what it is. I think of Jesus's life in that. The disciples were walking with Jesus. He kept telling them over and over and over again. When did they really realize? After everything was already done. I mean, right? Like, they had all the prophecies, they had everything sitting in front of them, and they didn't even realize it, right? Until everything was complete. So you don't recognize it, or it looks different than what you perceive it should look like. That's happened to me before. I'm like, man, you know, just going through old stuff and realizing, oh my goodness, that did come to pass, but it wasn't the way that I thought that it was supposed to come to pass in my own mind. And so, and then of course there are false prophecies, but that's why you're supposed to keep laying them before the Lord and bringing them to Him. Because He'll confirm those for you.
So. Okay.
Oh. 10 seconds. I found 7 reasons very quickly. Maybe it's a failure to understand why it's not coming to pass. Neglecting to perform necessary activities in your own life, or it's incorrect timing, or it's possibly a false word, delayed fulfillment, could be spiritual warfare that needs to be happening, and the worst one is an unfaithful prophet delivered a message.
I agree, too, that sometimes there's things that you have to activate personally in your life. You know, sometimes we're seeking God for a word, but we haven't paid attention to the last word that we got. And we're wondering, why isn't this word happening? Because there's a progression, right? Some words, I have had two words from Patricia King that I'm to write a book. The first word came 20 years ago. The second word was about 4 years later. Guess what? I haven't written a book. Is it because it's not a true word? I think it's more because I haven't put myself to it. I haven't given myself to it. And another area that can hinder us is just unbelief. We get a word, we don't understand it, and we're like, I don't believe that. Right? Instead of taking it before God and saying, I don't understand this. Can you give me clarity? Okay, Becca? I have a question for you. As a artist, tell us how the Lord speaks to you and gives you revelation. I would say teacher. As an apostolic person.
Artist. Wow.
You do digital artwork.
I do. I do. And that's usually something that I either have experienced or seen, or somebody else has experienced and seen, and the Lord says, yes, you can create that. But they're, like she described them as movies earlier, I would say they're, sometimes they're so real that I'm inside of it, and usually they're really loud. Like it almost drowns out all of the noise around me, and I see it over and over and over and over. It's on replay. So.
And did you start out that way?
I started out writing in a journal and writing down what I thought I heard, and it took some bravery, and I was afraid somebody would look at my journal. And then I just spent more and more time with him until I was hearing and experiencing the things that I do think you can experience things as children, even, like, for what you're seeing and what you're called to. But
that's a good word for some parents out here. I knew things about people when I was 4 years old. All of a sudden, it was like I knew it all my life. It was just something I knew. And it wasn't necessarily bad things or good things. It was just things. And I think God was just showing me that he was talking to me then. So pay attention to your children. This is a prophetic house. I think there's a lot of prophetic children in this house. In fact, I've seen many drawings. We've heard some prophetic voices come from the children that have been very powerful. And you can nurture that, in not just in yourself, but in your children. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
If you think your kids are daydreaming, they might be having a vision. So ask them. Try to see if they'll open up and share things with you. Is another good example.
We also have a lot of children that dream in this house. And we need to pay attention to what those dreams are.
And encourage your children to write down their dreams. And if they're given to art, encourage them to draw pictures and that for you. Because, listen, if you're a prophetic person, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Genesis, the book of Genesis, each is born after their own what? Kind. Teachers make teachers, right? Prophets make prophets. Dreamers make dreamers. Mm-hmm.
For those that have a problem writing things down, record everything.
Good idea.
That way you have it. Because some people don't like to take the time to write something down. Or you're driving, or your kids can't write it. So record them.
Rachel? What is the role of the prophet to the ecclesia? Why did God give us prophets? If we can all hear and we can all dream and see, and that, why did he give us prophets?
I think prophets bring in an alignment. That's something that I see over and over, kind of keep you back on the course. I think the ecclesia needs the site for the building. The body of believers. Thank you, Steve. He asked me that question yesterday. And also, they do hold a standard of holiness. It is all through the Word, Old Testament and New. They tore down the idols and they set up the standard. So bringing in the plumb line, if you will, the alignment and bringing things back to the Word, always the measuring line of the Word. So that's one of the things. There's a lot of different things. I think we are helping prepare the bride to meet Jesus. And all of us are called to equip her. But the prophet really prepares the way of the Lord and the bride. So
excellent. So we have a nation right now that's out of alignment. What do you think the prophet's role is in that, Jody?
I get the special mic. The role of a prophet for our nation. To speak truth. Can we think about it a little bit?
Yeah. How about you, Monty? What do you say to that?
I would say that what comes to my mind is, as a prophet, especially to the nation as they're traveling around, has that familiarity to different regions within the nation. Therefore, when they do speak truth or bring things in back into alignment, they're able to do that at a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. Amity? I don't think I have anything.
Okay, John?
To the nation, as a prophet, guiding to the Lord and warning.
And we do have prophets who are speaking warnings into our nation right now. Sherry lives in Washington, D.C. She probably hears a lot more of that than we hear in Alaska. But it is, in fact, the White House has a prayer room. And the Paula White, what is her role? Do you know what her exact title is? She's an advisor, I know, but is it for religion, or how do they word that? Gosh, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Yes. And her office is the largest office on the floor. He gave that to her. And they have a prayer room that is very, very active. And so things are moving and shaking in the White House, which is awesome.
I would say a prophet over the nation is called to plant and also uproot things that aren't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to establish the Word of God. They're supposed to run next to those that are called as apostles in the nation, and they set up boundaries around the nation. Mm-hmm. And so they're supposed to be watchmen.
Mm-hmm. I want to clarify something, too. Prophets and apostles of God are not necessarily only in the church. They're on every mountain of influence. Business, education, religion, the arts, government, and so on and so forth. So I truly believe that the Lord told me that Donald Trump is an apostle to our nation. Even though he's not in, you know, an apostle in the church, his anointing is apostolic to bring order and to build, to build, to build, to build. So, and there's several prophetic voices in our nation that have gathered around him and are speaking to him. So that's very powerful. And they are rooting out tearing down and building up. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. Talk to me about what prophets are not.
I was just going to say that we're not fortune tellers. You'll find people that if you know that you're operating in the prophetic, they'll call you up and they'll tell you what to prophesy over them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, sorry, we don't do that.
We don't hand out fortune cookies,
and
we are not slot machines.
Yeah,
that's right.
To see if you're going to get a winner, winner chicken dinner. Okay,
yeah.
We just are not here to prophesy over every person and produce.
Yeah,
it's what is God saying, right? And you know what? I know everyone sitting on this panel today has had prophetic words they might not have liked, that didn't feel good. Or that they just were like, yes, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. So not all prophets are going to make you feel good. Not every prophetic word to this house will make us feel good. Then others will cause us, they'll be like fire igniting us and causing us to run. But our hearts have to be open to God. The prophet is only the voice. It's like picking up your telephone. Hello? God speaking. The prophet is the voice. The true prophet isn't going to give you their opinion or their ideas. He's going to give you what he hears God saying for you. We are planning on doing a presbytery probably, we talked about June. We'll speak to Sage and Zach about it when they get back. If you want to have a prophetic word, we will be available to listen and see what God wants to share with you.
I just want to add, when the Lord brings a word of correction to you, one, don't despise it, but I will say that there's always an encouragement with that word. The Lord doesn't just rebuke you or discipline you or tell you do this or that. He always brings encouragement with it. So welcome it, because it's for growth and to draw closer to him. And one thing I do want to add with the government, that the prophets are called to this nation to repentance. That is one of the number one things that a prophet does for a nation, is called to repentance. Amen.
And to the church as well.
Yes.
If the church is out of alignment, the prophet may speak to, where are your eyes at? What are you focusing on? That kind of word to get us back into alignment, back into looking for God and not looking for our own. We have a tendency as human beings to kind of, you know, we're children after all, right? That's what he calls us. John?
I wrote things down on this one. It took a while to think these up. Their words are not sanctified wisdom. They're not a guess. It's not preaching or teaching. It's not a replacement of Scripture. Those are the things prophets are not to do.
They're not counselors. Right? No. And they're not pastoral. I'm telling you, the prophet is all, just let him die. We'll raise him from the dead. They're not, prophets are, there are some pastoral prophets, but overall, prophets are really black and white. They're not pastoral. So if you're wanting to feel good, don't go to a prophet for that, because you're probably going to get this instead. So, anyways, anything else you guys want to share? This is your chance.
I think I would just share that sometimes we do get words that are hard. And I had someone give me a word a year and a half ago, and they said, you're not always going to be running in the same place that Rachel is. And I cried and cried and cried. Didn't like it. But it's come back, and I've been seeing, oh, Rachel's running here. She went to Africa without me, y'all. We still champion each other. And then one time Zach looked at Luke and I, and he goes, you carry reclamation. I'm like, I had to look the word up, reclamation, what does that mean? And it wasn't until we rescued a little boy that was rejected and sleeping in the Anchorage office. And he was like, oh, see, you're reclaiming something nobody wants because they don't understand his value. And so reclamation, that came back to me, and it's like prophetic words will do that. You'll like know in the moment, oh, here it is. Oh, here it is. And I love that about the prophetic word.
I think the hardest word I ever had was my daughter had just left. We lived in the Arctic, and she had just left on a plane. And I was looking out my window, which expanded into the north. It went into the valley. And the Lord said, one day you will have all of her daughters. She didn't have any daughters at that time. And I thought, I'm hearing devils. That's really what I thought. Because in my mind, my child was going to die. Or something worse, something really bad was going to happen. I hopped on my ATV and I drove out to the end of the road. There was only a mile of road. Drove out to the end of the road and just sat with the Lord. That word came to pass, and there was times that there was so much warfare around what God had called us to that I did not see that it could be possible. And he would remind me, remember the word that I gave you. And my faith would latch on to that. And no matter what the opposition, no matter what happened, the word came true. And exactly as he had said. It was a hard word to receive. It was a hard word to live out and to stand in faith for. But he was with me all the way through it. And so when you get those hard words, don't run. Press in. Press in. Sherry had a word for us this morning. And I feel like it goes right along with what we've been sharing, because she has some seed. And we have been giving you seed for growth and to encourage you to grow in. And so, Sherry, would you come? I love your red, white, and blue. Oh, I got to share something really quick. Your red, white, and blue. Yesterday, how many of you had the opportunity to watch the Kentucky Derby? Did anybody watch it? Oh, my gosh. It was so prophetic. So we were watching them all day, sovereignty and journalism. So journalism was the number one pick for the Derby. Sovereignty was like 8-2, something like, or 8-1, something like that. He was down the list, and I looked at Tom, and when I saw that horse come out, his tail was up, his nostrils were flared, that horse is going to win today. I said to Tom, he's all, no, he's not even picked. It was Sovereignty's birthday yesterday, so the race is 2 minutes, it kicks off, he's not even in it, you know. Sovereignty took that race by 1.5 lengths. over journalism. You figure it out. Is that amazing? You can't make that up.
No, make it up.
Wow. Well, what an honor to be here. And I just feel like what the Lord is about to do is an encouragement to each of you that when you wake up in the morning, you don't expect to be standing in the front of the church, right? You just walk. So this morning on my walk, I'd walked this place numerous times over the last week. I passed and I saw this. It's not very pretty. Why would I pick it up? I picked it up because the Lord said it's a mantle that has been left behind. Pick it up and release it. And the word that the Lord wants to release with it, because we all heard that it all begins with God's word, the word that the Lord wants to release with this before it goes forth is out of John 15. Verses 1 through 5. Jesus said, these are Jesus' words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's what the Lord is here to remind us. So if you do not recognize what this is fireweed. Do you know how many seeds one fireweed plant produces on average? I had to look it up. 80,000. Each one of these flowers, so each one of these represents a flower, and actually this one looks like a multi-bloom. So each one of these produces 300 to 800. We're going with God's abundance because that's why Jesus came to give us abundant life. So we're going with 800. Each plant, 100-fold, 800, 100-fold, 80,000. God is speaking multiplication. God is speaking provision. And God is saying, maybe you feel ugly because this isn't pretty, but it's beautiful in God's eye because God sees the potential for this. God sees what the destiny that he has called forth. If you look at some of these prophetic words that we may receive, we look at them and go, what? How? Oh my goodness. But how do these seeds become the beautiful fireweed, right? They have to die. But what the Lord is here to say is maybe you feeling not so beautiful have not picked up those words that he wants to expand and multiply 100-fold. And so the Lord is asking each of us, according to our need to step out and into agreement with his word, to come forth. And I'm going to pull off these seeds as much as I can. And it's you prophetically coming forward and saying yes to him. I am not going to leave your mantle. I'm not going to leave my potential on the ground. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to walk it out. I am going to spread the seed of your word. And I am going to live the full potential to what you have called me. And I each have a call. We have a destiny. Our seeds are important. And when they are planted and they bloom together, we are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. So I'm going to leave it there. And Kim, I'm going to let Kim manage the rest of this.
So it's not coincidence that this is fireweed. Seeds of fire. Right? So yes, as she's taken these apart, and I also noticed she brought her anointing oil. So if you want some fire, the seeds are here, and growth, and come forward. Okay? And don't be shy. Come on, Marita. I know you want to.
Well, and since you did mention the anointing oil, the Lord had me bring two specific anointing oils. I don't want to hold to this from my face. This one is Exodus. So if you feel like you are in an Exodus time, actually, I think I'm supposed to anoint you with both. Exodus,
for leaving the old
and going higher. So I think we're supposed to do the Exodus, and then we're going higher. So if somebody will help, Kim, do you want to do that? And I'll pass out the seed. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the eagerness in this room, in your body, in your ecclesia, that is saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I know that I am your seed. I know that you have multiplication 100-fold. Lord, we just call in your 100-fold. We call in your abundance, abundance in life. We thank you that you have taken us out of Egypt. You have passed over, and you say, life, life abundant. And we release your life, we release your abundance, and we say, from here, take your seed and multiply for your glory and your glory alone. Amen.